Good morning. Yes, my name's Brian. It means strength, you know. Our reading is taken from Matthew 28, titled The Great Commission. I'm reading from verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, and some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Yes.
So this is part of our Faith Foundations series. And today I'm talking about the Trinity. Simple subject. So make sure that your seat belts are buckled, that your tray tables are folded, you have your armrests down and your window blinds open, because it's going to be a turbulent ride. I normally spend about 15 or 20 hours on a sermon. This has taken me about 60, and I was still reading last night at 10 o'clock. So, God is triune. As we've just heard, the first description of the Trinity was in a context of worship. I want to get this straight with us, okay? This is about worship. It's not about a mathematical formula. It's not about some deep philosophy, ideology, or theology. This is about worship. We worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, that doesn't make sense. But it does make sense of a lot of our lives. It makes sense of love. It makes sense of who we are. So we've got to have this in the context of worship. Please keep that in mind. Don't get falling over into sort of clever stuff, you know. This is about worshiping God. Now, I've got a couple of questions. That's very small, isn't it? Ignore the first question. How do you understand the Trinity, and what relevance does it have to your life? So let's just take a couple of minutes. If you want to talk with somebody next to you, you can do. If you don't want to talk to them, don't talk to them. Just think about, how do you understand the Trinity, and what relevance does it have for your life? Just a couple of minutes to think. I'm not going to ask for feedback, so don't worry. Okay, not asking for feedback. I have never preached on the Trinity before, and I've never heard a sermon on the Trinity before. So this is going to be a total experiment. But, my desire for this time is to strengthen our understanding and enrich our Christian spirituality and inform the way we live. And ultimately, that we will love God more. That's the bottom line here, that we will actually love God more because we know him better. Now, when I proposed to my wife, We'd been going out for 2 weeks. Okay? I didn't really know her. But I knew I'd loved her. But I know her now, after 32 years. And I love her more. Because I know her more. And that's what I want from this. When we know God as God truly is, then we will love God more and more and more. Because as we've sung, God is good. He's good and he's loving. And the thing is about the Trinity is that often we ignore it because it's too complicated and difficult. But actually, what one of my favourite theologians, Karl Barth, said was, the doctrine of the Trinity is what basically distinguishes the Christian doctrine of God as Christian. We believe God is triune. And the church has tried to understand it as Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not going to dumb this down. So, like I said, buckle up. Get ready. It might hurt your head, but it's worth doing. Because we are considering something that is somebody that is far greater than we are. Carol Eaton said, she's just looked up at me. Carol Eaton said, if we could understand God as Trinity, then we would be as great as he was. We'd be as equal as he was. So we end up with this sort of like trying to stretch out. But it is the highest thought that you can ever have in your life, thinking about God. It is the most important thing you will ever think about in your life. So if it gives you a bit of a headache, well, there you go. Try harder. That's what a friend of mine said. So I've got three declarations about the Trinity, okay? There is no doctrine of the Trinity in the Bible. But the Bible reveals God as Father in the Old Testament, God as Son in the Gospels, and God as Spirit after Pentecost. So there is a revelation of God walking with his people throughout their lives. Okay? So although it may not be taught as a doctrine, it is definitely there. God is three in one. He is three persons in one being. Now, however much that doesn't sound like it's logical, because it ain't, it's true. And like I said, it makes sense. And I hope by the end of this time that you will understand why it makes sense. This is also a vital understanding. The Trinity is a loving and purposeful community of persons. Ultimately, God is community. So in love, he's one in three. But he's also one in three in purpose as well. So what the triune God does in the world is always, and at the same time, in concerted fashion, the work of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. So we haven't got creation, Father, Son, redemption, Holy Spirit, mediation. They all are involved in that. So God is one in three, in love and in purpose. And just a quick parenthesis here, just heading up something here. We were made in that image. Remember, we were made in that image. So we are made for being one in love and purpose, which is why I got everybody to be different up here, but have a group hug. Because God is an eternal group hug. So let's just go through these three. God reveals himself as Father in the Old Testament. So in the creation stories, God says, Let us make humanity in our own image. He uses the plural term. And the word for God is, I'm sorry to bring a bit of Hebrew into it, but Elohim. And if you see an I-M at the end of a Hebrew word, it's plural. It's like the S for us. But it's used with a singular verb. So God is one and God is in community. You have the Spirit of God hovering over the waters in Genesis 1. Oh, go. 1:2. We have holy wisdom in Proverbs 8, where it says that this holy wisdom is the Creator. And rather controversially, it says she. There's something to conjure with. And of course, you have the angel of the Lord as well. So there's an idea of that God is not just a one on his own. So in the Bible, we have this revelation, this constant revelation. And when you come to the New Testament, you see God as Son. And that verse, everyone thinks when you read Matthew 28, 16 to 20, you should be talking about mission. Well, you can do it in my world anyway. But it's talking about God being worshipped. Talking about God being worshipped in Jesus. Some worshipped him. They worshipped him, but some doubted. So Jesus was worthy of worship. And the Holy Spirit is worthy of worship. So we have this idea in the Bible. But the consequences of this is that God is a loving community. Now these were, I'm not going to give you the lesson in early church history, but these theologians recognize that God was not just one. He was three integrated into one. So they use this little, called the shield of the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Spirit. The Spirit is not the Father. But they're all God. So Jesus is not a third of God. The Father is not a third of God. And the Spirit is not a third of God. They're all God. But they are in a loving relationship. It's like a dance almost. I'm getting emotional. This is our God. This is who we worship. This is the great thing that we have as Christians, that we worship a God who is love. If God were to be on his own and just one, before he made the world, he would not have anybody to love. So God could not be love. That's not me saying that. That's philosophers of the 8th and 9th century. So God has loved Father, Son and Spirit from the beginning of time. Is that not mind-blowing? Is that not just incredible? Why does he love us? Because he loves Father, Son, and Spirit. It's amazing. It makes me want to cry with joy. Because that's whom I love. And who loves me. Because he is love. I used to challenge students. I used to say to them, what can God not do? They go, God can do anything. I said, no, he can't. He can't not love you. It's not possible for God not to love you. It's impossible. Because he is already love. I'm going to walk around here. That's just amazing. You just got to let that sink in for 1 second. Or no, for a few seconds. Just let that sink in. Before the foundation of the universe, before the Big Bang or whatever happened at the beginning of time, God was still in love with Father, Son, and Spirit. And let me just go back and say, that's the image in which we have been made. Let us make humanity in our own image. Lord God, we thank you that you are love. We bless you and we thank you. We are just overwhelmed by your love because you are Father, Son, and Spirit. Amazing. Amen. So, this is this is something I use that most of my students hated because it's an icon. It's an icon from Andrei Rublev, 19th century icon, and it's just called the Trinity. It's not very clear, I'm afraid. I'm sorry, I've not made it very well. But Rublev refused to say who was whom. God, Father, Son, or Holy Spirit. And I've done this before, I think. But there are two cups in this picture. One's pretty obvious. But there's another cup shape. Can anybody see it? Yeah, it's the shape of their bodies. Look at the shape of their bodies. That's a cup. Rublev was trying to actually say that God is distinct but unified. I have looked at this picture for hours on end. And because God is in fellowship with one another, we can be in fellowship with one another. So it has massive implications for us. So God is one and three in love. Unified yet diverse. And that's the model of who we are. We should be We should be unified but diverse. And if we're all the same, that's bad. If we're against each other, that's bad. But we're not. So just take a look around the church today and do the same thing that I got the people up here to do. Diversity is so important in the church. If we don't have that, we don't reflect God. It's not only in love, but it's also in purpose. So this is this phrase. This is a phrase from St. Augustine. I know it's a bit convoluted. But what God does, he does together. So he's one in love, and he's one in purpose. So the Son died on the cross, but the Father was not away from there. He's not distant. He suffered as well. And those of you who have children, just imagine seeing your son or daughter die in pain. And God has in eternity past been with Jesus, and then he had to watch him die. So the Holy Spirit, we come to know God through the Holy Spirit, who leads us to Jesus, who points to the Father. And the Father points to Jesus, and then Jesus points to the Holy Spirit. They don't live for themselves. Jesus found his identity in serving the Father. That's what John tells us. And we find our identity in serving each other. We don't find our identity by closing in on ourselves. So the Trinity, yet again, is this model of love, concerted, purposeful mission, if you like. So in our worship and our devotion, we worship the Trinity. We tend to focus on one of the persons of the Trinity. My dad was a theologian. I said, who should you pray to? He said, it doesn't matter, they're all God. you can pray to the Father or the Son or the Spirit, it doesn't matter. But do that, because it enriches our own spirituality and our love for Him. The Spirit's different, in a sense, from the Father and the Son. When I used to teach on the Holy Spirit, I used to say that the Holy Spirit seems to be a bit of the wild child of the Trinity. You just cannot predict what the Spirit is going to do. And if you think you've got him tapped, then you're in trouble. Because he doesn't like it. Church life. We must develop our diversity and our love. Our unity and diversity. And over the last year, we have become much more diverse. I think I said last week, I think I said last week, you know, if you don't like foreigners, you might not enjoy heaven very much. Because it's going to be diverse. Every tongue, tribe, kingdom and nation will be there, worshipping the Lamb, Revelation 7:9. Fantastic. In our mission to the world, we demonstrate this. If you want to volunteer for the bridge, I would encourage you to do so, to demonstrate our diversity to the people who walk by. It's not just a need we have for people to go onto the bridge. It's a demonstration of who we are in our mission. And I'm going to go over this one's structures. It's a bit boring. This is from do you remember Jesus, my Redeemer? Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. God is one in love and purpose, but he's diverse. And that's what we should be. That's what our aim is. It's one of our big visions. This is really back to the fundamentals of our faith. Now, to finish off, I want us to do something that we don't often do, which is read the Nicene Creed together, because this is Trinitarian. So, we'll say it together. We believe in one God, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all ages, light of light, true God of true God, begotten, not created, of one essence with the Father, through whom all things were made, who for us human beings and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and became man. He was crucified under Pontius Pilate and suffered and was buried, and on the third day, according to the Scriptures. I knew that was going to happen. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father.
And he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom shall have no end.
And in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the creator of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who together with the Father and the Son is worshipped, glorified, who spoke through the prophets, In one holy apostolic church, we confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life to come. Amen. Lord God, we praise you and thank you that you are a God who is in Trinity, that you are a loving God because you love Father, Son and Spirit. And we can love you and we can love others. We thank you that you are of one purpose in your mission in this world to rescue the nations from their own sin. And I thank you, Lord, that you have saved us. We want to worship you, bow down and bless you, because you are Father, you are Son, and you are Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The word Catholic means universal, by the way. It doesn't mean Roman Catholic. It means universal. So that's Paul's just reminded me to say that. I sometimes forget that people don't understand the theological term.